Amen. That's awesome. Thank you, young people. You did such a great job with that. And I always enjoy hearing the kids' choir sing. And they just sing out, don't they? And we appreciate that, young people. And appreciate all those that work with our children and all of our different ministries. And of course, do want to remind you, if you work in the nursery or in any of our children's ministries, Sunday school, super church, master clubs, if you work with our teens or anything like that, we do have a ministry appreciation dinner for you and that we want you to sign up to be a part of in just a couple of weeks, not this Tuesday, but the following Tuesday. And so please get signed up for that. And we appreciate all those that have a part in our children's ministries and things. And so make sure you go online, get signed up for that. We'll have a great evening with our children's ministry appreciation dinner. So looking forward to that. Let's take our Bibles this morning, open to the book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. And 1 Peter chapter 1, we kind of on Vision Sunday introduced that we'll be going through the book of 1 Peter this year. And our theme is taken from the book of 1 Peter in 1 Peter chapter 2 in verse number 9, where it says, "Ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." And our theme for this year is called out to stand out. God has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light, and we thank him for that, for the salvation that he gives. But there's a purpose for why he has called us out, and that is to stand out. That is to show the glory of his marvelous love and to those around us. And so we're going to be looking at the book of 1 Peter this year, and I'm telling you, 1 Peter is just it is a rich book. It is a deep book. And so many times we can think, well, you know, it's just a, you know, 1 Peter, it's only got just a couple of chapters, you know, five chapters in the book of 1 Peter. It's not going to take very long to go through this. There is a lot in 1 Peter. And a lot of it, I believe, we can apply to us today. Again, just as Peter was writing to these believers and encouraging them to stand out in the world that they lived in. It was not an easy task, as we'll see here in just a moment. But God is asking us to do the same thing. He is calling us to stand out in the midst of this world that we live in. And so we're going to look at 1 Peter, and we're just going to read verses 1 and 2 this morning, and just kind of setting the stage a little bit for what's going on here as Peter is writing. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 1 and 2, he says, "Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the sprinkling, and unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied." Let's pray. Lord, again, we do thank you for the opportunity we have to worship this morning, and thank you for the great singing, Lord, just lifting up the name of Jesus. And Lord, even as the young people just sang about you, that you are strong and that you are kind, and Lord, that no matter what we're going through, we can go to you and you'll be with us each and every step of the way. But Lord, the most important thing that you've provided for us is salvation. And Lord, we thank you for that. And Lord, I pray that maybe there would be someone here today, either in person or through the live stream, that may not know Jesus Christ as their Savior. And Lord, we pray that you'd help them to understand that there's only one way to have our sins forgiven. There's only one way to be made in a right relationship with you, and that is only through Jesus Christ. Lord, for Christians this morning, I pray that you'd help us as we begin this new series in the book of 1 Peter, to truly grasp why it's so important to stand out, Lord, in the world that we live in, to live for Jesus Christ. And Lord, that we would be not just hearers of your word, but Lord, we would be doers of your word. And so, Father, just bless now in the message. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, 1 Peter, let me just kind of give you a little bit of a background of the book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter is what is referred to as a general epistle. There are some that are church epistles that are written to specific churches, like 1 and 2 Thessalonians. They are written to the church of Thessalonica. The book of Philippians is written to the book or the church of Philippi. And so there are certain letters that were written to churches. Some letters are written to individuals, like you have the book of Titus, and you have 1 and 2 Timothy, you have Philemon. Those are letters written to specific individuals. But then you have what we call the general epistles, and that is, it's not written to a specific church or an individual, but rather it is written to, we could say, all Christian believers. Not that we can't learn from the other ones, but it's just helping you understand why it is referred to as a general epistle. And Peter deals with, 1 Peter is a very weighty book. Peter deals with doctrine. He handles some very weighty subjects. In fact, in the first few verses here, just listen to this. In the first few verses, he deals with the doctrines of election, foreknowledge, sanctification, obedience, the blood of Christ, the Trinity, the grace of God, salvation, revelation, glory, faith, and hope. Yeah, it's going to be good. This is going to be good. I don't know how you get any more doctrine crowded in just a few verses than what Peter has done, but he did it, right? Obviously, we understand this is under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, but it is filled with doctrine, and the way in which he handles these great themes of the Bible reveals to us that Peter was by no means just an ignorant fisherman. Sometimes we have this idea that Peter was just a dummy, you know? He was just a fisherman, and he just always made mistakes and things like that. And Peter is one that, let's just face it, gets a lot of flack, right? Peter gets a lot of flack, especially when we read through the gospel records. Maybe because he was a little prideful. Maybe because he spoke before thinking. Maybe because he denied the Lord three times. Or maybe because he caused some division in the church of Antioch. So we can give Peter some flack, but let me tell you something. This is a rich book that we're going to go through. And there's going to be a lot of things that I believe that we'll be able to apply to our lives and learn through this. And so, you know, you're not going to want to miss it as we go through this year in the book of 1 Peter. But maybe I should start by saying this. The thing that we find about Peter, though, is that even though with all the mistakes that he made, and again, there's a good list, right? God still had a plan for his life. God still had a purpose for Peter, and ended up using Peter in a great way. Think about this. On the day of Pentecost, Peter gets up and preaches, and 3,000 people get saved. A week later, he preaches, and 5,000 people get saved. All through Peter's ministry, people are coming to know the Lord. God used Peter in a great way. In fact, even to pen part of the New Testament. Peter's not just some ignoramus fisherman. We find Peter rough when we first are introduced to him in the gospel records, just like any of the disciples were. Just like, by the way, could I say you and I were. But as the Lord began to work in Peter's life, and yes, he made mistakes, and the Lord just didn't throw Peter away. Aren't you glad of that? Aren't you glad that when you and I make mistakes, God just doesn't throw us away? God uses Peter in a very great way. And don't ever think that you failed too many times for God to use you. Don't ever think that. Peter, we could make a list of all the things that Peter did wrong, and yet God still wanted to use Peter. God still used Peter in a great way. And look, we have all failed the Lord. You know, we could all come up with a list of all the things that we have failed him in, right? But if we're not careful, we can focus on the failures instead of focus on God. And God is the one that desires to use us. God is the one that has a purpose and a plan for our life. And if we'll stop focusing on the failures and start focusing on him, we'll understand what he has for us. And that even with all the failures and all the mistakes and all of our past, God still wants to use us. It's amazing because he's an amazing God. Of course, we know that Peter was one of the three closest to Jesus. There were the 12 original disciples, and in that 12, there were three that we would say were kind of like the inner circle, right, of the 12. You could go through and look at the 12 disciples, but there were three that were just kind of more on an intimate level with the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that that was Peter, James, and John. Peter, James, and John were with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration, and he was there with him many times when others may not have been. And so Peter was one of the closest disciples. And again, not that he was any better than the others. God wanted to use each of them in their own way. But I think we understand that Peter was one of those that were closest to the Lord. And in fact, he even talks about some of the things that of that as we get into later portions of Scripture. The book of Peter was written around somewhere between 62 and 67 AD. It was during the persecution of Christians. Both Jews and Gentile Christians were being persecuted under a man by the name of Nero. Nero, of course, was the ruler of Rome, and Nero was kind of an interesting character. He was kind of crazy, and tried to pass a lot of the blame that was taking place in Rome and the Roman colonies and things on the Christians. And so Nero was known for persecuting the Christians. Nero was a man that was known for taking Christians, and he would at night along his palace roads, he would take Christians and tie them to stakes and set them on fire to light the path of his chariots to be able to go through at nighttime. That's the type of man this was. This is what he was doing to Christians. And so there was great persecution during this time. And notice he says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. So Peter is writing to these persecuted Christians, again, both Jews and Gentiles. And it was written, he tells us, to these that were dispersed in these five Roman provinces located in the northern part of what is what we now know as Turkey. In that time period, it was called Asia Minor. But what we would call Turkey is where these provinces were that Peter is writing to these believers in. And he's writing to people who are hurting. He's writing to people who are suffering, people who are being ridiculed and persecuted because they simply wanted to live for Jesus Christ. They simply wanted to follow the Lord. And they were being persecuted and they were hurting and suffering because of that. And so throughout the Roman Empire, believers had been attacked and were being persecuted so much so that they had been forced to flee for their lives. And this is why he says to those strangers scattered throughout, this persecution had caused these believers to scatter all throughout this region. They had been forced to leave everything behind, their homes, their property, their businesses, their jobs, their church, their friends, other believers. Things were not well during this time. Sometimes we look at Scripture and we think, oh, you know, everything, it's different. You know, everything was going easy for them. No, no, no. It was not going easy for them. This was a very difficult time for these believers. They're hurting. They're suffering. They're being persecuted. When you think about after the Babylonian captivity, only a very small group of Jews returned to Israel. Many of them still were living in Babylon and other areas. There was a great Jewish colony in Babylon, and some Jews even fled to other areas trying to escape the persecution that was being brought upon them. And Peter, who was primarily an apostle to the Jewish believers, and seems that he had traveled to Babylon and was actually writing this letter from Babylon as he was ministering to this Jewish group of believers that were there in Babylon and writing to these believers back in Asia Minor. And it's interesting, if you follow the progress, he kind of goes in order from east to west as he lists these names as he's writing to these believers. And so these believers are scattered around, and they're hurting, they're suffering. And so Peter is trying to write this letter to encourage them because of everything that's going on. There is, can I say, there is a dangerous thing for Christians living in, not only in this passage or this time period that Peter was writing in, but also in this generation. I would say that many times we would think that persecution is probably the greatest thing that we could face, right? But I don't think that's the greatest thing that Peter identifies here. They were suffering. They were being persecuted. And by the way, there are Christians, even believers today, being persecuted and suffering in countries all around the world. As Brother Corey mentioned in praying and being thankful that we can come and worship freely, we don't have to worry about that fear of persecution and imprisonment or death because of worshiping the Lord. But these believers were. And so I would not say that the most dangerous thing for a Christian is persecution. I would say, and I believe Peter is going to identify this as well, the most dangerous thing for a Christian living in his time period and living in our time period is to forget who they are. To forget who they are. And I think Peter is going to identify this, and Peter's going to address this, because if we're going to produce the fruit that God wants us to produce as Christians, then we need to remember who we are. If we're going to live well in this generation, we need to know who we are and what our purpose is. So as we begin kind of this series going through the First Peter, I want to bring a message entitled this morning, Living Well. Living well. How do we live well in this generation? How do we live well? And can I say, it's not just this generation, it's every generation, but how do we live well? How is Peter going to help these believers as they are suffering? They're being persecuted. They have been scattered abroad. They are fleeing for their lives. And yet Peter's going to encourage them, hey, live well. Stay faithful. Live well. How does he do that? Well, don't you notice a couple things that he points out? First of all, they were strangers. He says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout these regions. Notice the strangers. Peter shows us the mode of life of a Christian. You understand, as a Christian, we need to see ourselves as strangers. I hope you understand when I say the word strangers, I'm not meaning we're supposed to be strange or weird. That's not what he's talking about. When he uses this term strangers, he's helping them to understand that they were not residents of the area that they were living in. They had been scattered because of persecution, and now they're living in unfamiliar areas. They're living in a foreign country for a time, but they did not belong to that country. What Peter is trying to remind them of is, hey, even though you've been scattered abroad, even though you're in a foreign country, just remember, you're not part of that country. And even as Christians, can I say, if we want to live well, we need to remember that we are strangers. We are not part of this country. You say, well, I'm an American citizen. Well, I am too. I'm an American citizen. But let me tell you something. This isn't my country. Oh, this is my physical country. This is where I live. This is where I reside here right now. But let me tell you something. My country is not here. I have a far greater country. You say, oh, you're a traitor. Look, I think you understand what I'm saying, friend. My country is heaven. That's my country. My king is not the president of the United States. My king is Jesus Christ. My God is the one who is in charge. He is the one that I look to. And friend, we have to understand, we are just strangers here. The unfortunate thing for so many Christians is, instead of thinking of ourselves as strangers, we just make this our home. And we're more concerned about here than we are where we're going to be one day. Peter is telling them, hey, look, don't forget, you're just strangers there. That's not your home. You're strangers. You're just temporarily residing there. And this reminds the followers of Christ that we do not truly belong to this world because we are citizens of heaven. Think about what the Bible says over in the book of Ephesians chapter 2. Look over with me in the book of Ephesians chapter 2 in verse number 19. He says, "Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God." He says, look, we have to understand we are part of God's family now. And when we are in this world, look, we're just strangers. We're just temporarily residing here for a short period of time. I don't know how long that time is going to be for you. I don't know how long that time is going to be for me, but this is just a short period of time that we're residing here, because one day our Savior is going to call us home, and we're going to be home, and we're going to be back in our country. Look in Philippians chapter 3. In Philippians chapter 3, notice in verse number 20, he says, "For our conversation or our lifestyle is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." He said, hey, friend, don't worry about right now. In fact, in the book of Hebrews, he talks about how those believing Christians, they said they consider themselves pilgrims, strangers. They understood this was not their home. They looked for a far better country. And I tell you, when we get our eyes off of who we are and how God wants us to view ourselves, can I tell you something? We end up not living well. Oh, we might look well. We might have possessions, and we might have all the things that the world considers to be the right things. But when we look at the way God wants us to view ourselves, we're not living well because we're not being obedient and doing what he wants us to do. We're simply looking at the world and saying, what is the world deciding that living well is? What does the world say success is? What does the world say popularity, and what is it that you can reach to make everybody think, oh, this is a successful person? No, friend, as a Christian, God wants us to see that we are just strangers in this world. We're just strangers. Can I say, as we think about this verse, Peter, he says, an apostle of Jesus Christ to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia. He says in verse number 2, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through the sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. As we look at the depth of verse number 2, I think that you'll see that not only is the doctrine of the Trinity, did you notice the doctrine? He talks about the Father, the Spirit, and Jesus Christ. That's the Trinity, right? I don't know why people say, oh, the Trinity's not found in Scripture. I mean, it was very clearly laid out right there in verse number 2, right? I think we'll see not just the doctrine of the Trinity, but also how the Trinity works in salvation, and also how the Trinity works in our lives after salvation. Notice what he says, and we're not going to labor on this long this morning because I do want to get through the message here. But notice he says, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. And may I say, a lot of times this word election kind of scares people. We're like, oh, wait a minute. Has God chosen people to be saved? Are there certain people that God has chosen that can be saved and that cannot be saved? Well, there are those that would teach that. But friend, I believe the Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world. And he says in Romans chapter 10, verse number 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. We have to understand the election and foreknowledge of God work hand in hand. God knows who's going to be saved. God knows every person who is going to be saved. Why? Because God knows everything. There's nothing that God does not know. He knows every single thing. And so in God's foreknowledge, he knows everyone who's going to be saved. By the way, can I tell you something? When Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, that didn't take God by surprise. He knew they were going to sin, just as he knew you were going to sin. He knows we're going to sin. He has that knowledge, but he also knows all those who are going to come to salvation. And God has elected them for a specific purpose. And we're going to see this. Notice, again, the Father knew in his foreknowledge who would be saved and has elected them to be part of his family. But notice also, he talks about here, God knew in his foreknowledge that they would be strangers. God knew that these believers would be scattered around the world. God knew that these believers were going to suffer persecution. God knew they were going to have to leave their homes. God knew that. This persecution did not take God by surprise. God is always in charge. He's always in charge. He's always in control. It wasn't Rome or it wasn't any other human power. And so therefore, we must recognize that if God knew this and allowed it to happen, then God had a purpose for it. And this is what Peter is trying to help them understand. Hey, you're not just saved just to get by. So many times we're just, well, I'm saved and I'm hoping I can just get by. I'm hoping I can just make it through, right? I'm hoping I can just hold on to the end. Many of you know I do not like the song, Hold the Fort. I don't like it. It's a defeated song. We're just hanging on till the end. No, that's not what he wants. He doesn't want us just to hang on to the end. He says he has elected us for this as Christians, knowing God and as our Father and knowing Jesus Christ. There is a purpose. There is a plan that he has for us that he's elected us to. And this is what Peter is trying to help these believers understand. Hey, even in suffering and even through persecution and even through darkness and distress, you can still stand out for God. It's during those times that God is trying to work through us to help us to stand out so that the world can see something different about us. Don't just hold on. Don't just be like, man, I'm just going to hold on till Jesus comes. Do something. Don't just hold on. Don't just wait around. Do something. Don't just sit around doing nothing. Do something. He says we are elect for this purpose. God has chosen us for this purpose. Again, this did not take God by surprise. He knew they were going to be persecuted. He knew they were going to be dispersed. Our purpose and their purpose is to stand out as God's people in this world, no matter where you are or what the circumstances may be. God says we are to stand out. Again, that's what he talks about. He has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Why? To show the glory of God. We're to be shining forth that example. We're to be showing people what Jesus Christ has done. Look, can I tell you something? If all you're doing is just holding on till the end, you're not showing the glory of God. God's not done. God's not defeated. He's still moving. He's still moving forward, and he wants you and I to move forward as well. And so we see here the strangers, and he says, hey, even though you're strangers, understand who you are and understand in Christ, even though you're there, there is a purpose. Notice the second thing. Not only do we see the strangers, but notice the sanctified. Notice the second part of this verse here. He says, we are elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit. Through sanctification of the Spirit. Again, can I tell you, just as the Father is part of salvation, so the Spirit is part of salvation. The Spirit is the one that is working in our heart. The Spirit is the one that is convicting us and helping us to realize, hey, you're a sinner. You're a sinner and you need Jesus Christ to save you. The Holy Spirit is working on unbelievers to say, hey, he's trying to convict them. And he's trying to draw them to Jesus Christ. But notice also, as we come to know Jesus Christ as our Savior, there is a sanctification of the Spirit. God has set us apart from the world. That's what the word sanctified means. The word sanctified means set apart. In fact, there are several words in the Bible that we find. The word sanctified, the word holy, they mean the same thing, to be set apart. That's what it means, to be set apart. And notice he says, we are set apart through the sanctification of the Spirit. Just as in salvation, God places us through his Spirit into his family. We are set apart from the world. We're to be different from the world now as his children. But he says now there is a sanctification process. There's a process that is happening in our life called sanctification. Sanctification just doesn't happen overnight. Sanctification is a daily thing. It's an ongoing thing. It is me becoming more like Jesus Christ. The problem with so many Christians is we want Jesus Christ to become more like me. Amen. That's what we're trying to do. We're trying to make Jesus Christ become more like me. That's why when we're like, all right, Lord, if you'll do this for me, if you'll do it my way, I'll follow you. No, you won't. Why don't you just follow him the way he says to follow him? Because we're trying to make him more like us, and what the Holy Spirit's trying to do is make us more like him. There's a battle going on inside, isn't there? Between the flesh and the spirit. Paul kind of talks about that a little bit, right? What's happening? The Holy Spirit's trying to sanctify us. Now that we are saved, the Holy Spirit's trying to help us to become more like Jesus Christ. Why? So we can stand out. So we can stand out. Can I tell you something? If Jesus becomes more like you, you're not gonna stand out. You're not gonna stand out. But if you become more like Jesus Christ, you'll stand out. You'll stand out. You see, what is our purpose? Are we just here hanging on? Are we just here trying to follow the idea of what the world says? And hey, I'm just gonna accumulate wealth and possessions and cars and computers and all. Is that what life is all about? Is that what we think living well is? Friend, can I tell you something? You're not gonna take any of that with you. You're gonna leave it all behind. It's all gonna stay here. Are we becoming more like Jesus Christ? You see, that's why God gives us his spirit to help us become more like him. That sanctification takes place through the Spirit of God. Because of Jesus Christ, we are sanctified before God, and now he wants us to live sanctified before the world. We've been set apart to God. We belong to him now. Thank God for that. I mean, think about the songs that we sang this morning, how great thou art and worthy of worship, and when we all get to heaven, and thank God that if you're saved and you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're part of God's family. But as part of his family, he says, hey, I want you to do something. There's some things I need you to do. I want you to be sanctified. I want you to yield yourself to me. Yield yourself to Jesus Christ. Yield yourself to the Holy Spirit of God. Allow him to change you to what he wants you to be. Can I ask you something? If I'm not willing to stand out when there is no persecution, how am I going to stand out when there is? If I'm not willing to stand out now when we have the freedom to talk about Jesus, we have the freedom to talk about our faith, we have the freedom to meet and worship and sing praises, we have the freedom to do these things, and yet we're not willing to stand out, we're not willing to allow Jesus to conform us to be what he wants us to be, what makes you think you're going to do it when things get bad? Oh, I'd never deny Jesus. Boy, that Peter, I can't believe he denied the Lord 3 times. Can't believe that. I would never do that. And yet we're not living for him now. We're not living well now. And somehow we think that if persecution came, boy, I'd stand. You see, we're deceiving ourselves. We think living well means everything is going to go good. I get lots of things. No, friend, that's not living well. I can take you to a lot of Christians who have what the world thinks is success and they are miserable. They're not living well because they're not fulfilling God's purpose for their life because they don't know who they are. They're supposed to be strangers. They're supposed to be sanctified. And when we understand that we are strangers and we're to be sanctified, guess what we'll do? We'll serve. Look at the next part of the verse. Look in verse number 2. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through the sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. You see, obedience follows salvation. When we get saved, when we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, man, can I tell you something? We ought to be thankful that Jesus Christ was willing to follow God's plan. If Jesus Christ was not willing to follow God's plan and be obedient unto death, we would not have salvation. We couldn't have salvation because there'd be no sacrifice for our sins. But the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ was willing to be obedient unto death. Jesus Christ submitted himself to the Father's will. And don't misunderstand this. Jesus Christ did not stop being God. He is 100% God, co-equal, co-eternal. But yet he was willing to submit himself to the Father's will to come to this earth, to bleed and to die on a cross so that he could be the payment for your sin and my sin. Friend, can I tell you something this morning? We do not enter into a right relationship with God because we're a good person. We do not enter into a right relationship with God because we come to church. We don't enter into a right relationship with God because we keep the Ten Commandments. We don't enter into a right relationship with God because we get baptized. The only way that we can enter into a right relationship with God is through Jesus Christ alone. He's the only way. He is the one who died on the cross for your sin and my sin. He's the one who was buried and rose again and defeated death so that he could offer life. He's the only one who can do that. Friend, if you're here this morning and you've never put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, if you don't have that right relationship with God, you're still separated from God because of your sins. Can I tell you something? Jesus Christ wants to save you today. He wants to give you eternal life. He wants to bring you into his family. He wants to make you his own. But it doesn't happen through a baptism or church membership or being good. No, it only happens when we come by faith to Jesus Christ and cry out to him and say, Lord, I need you to save me. I need you to save me because I cannot save myself. I am a sinner. And my sins are going to send me to hell. Lord, you died to pay for my sins. And I look to you. And I ask you to save me. Friend, can I tell you something? You can have that right relationship with God today. But it's only through Jesus Christ. It's only through Christ. But for a Christian, if we know we've been saved and God is trying to work in our heart to sanctify us, to make us more like Jesus Christ, can I tell you something? The more we become like Jesus Christ, the more we're willing to serve. If Jesus Christ was willing to shed his blood for us, should we not be willing to live for him? If Jesus Christ was willing to come and offer himself as a sacrifice, should we not be willing to offer ourselves as a sacrifice to him? Our purpose as part of God's family is to stand out. Can I tell you something? If you're just doing everything the way the world does it, you're never gonna stand out. Never gonna stand out. But if you'll follow Jesus Christ, if you'll be obedient to what he says, I tell you this, you will stand out. Again, please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm not talking about being weird or anything like that. I'm just talking about when people do what is right and they follow God and they're obedient to Jesus Christ, the world takes notice of that. The world looks and says there's something different about them. Yeah, they might come to work just like I come to work and they put on the same clothes that I put on at work and everything looks right, but there's something different about them. There's something different in the way that they talk. There's something different. Their purpose of life, their purpose of life is not just about accumulating wealth. It's not just about getting more and more. Man, they're always talking about Jesus. They're always talking about what God's doing in their life. They're always talking about these things. Friend, that's when people begin to notice there's something different. Something different about them. This is what he's saying. Hey, as a Christian, we understand this isn't our home. We're not living for here. We're not just accumulating the mass wealth so that we can enjoy it here. Why would we want to have stuff here when we know we're going to leave it behind? Don't misunderstand. I'm not saying you can't have a nice house. I'm not saying you can't drive a nice car. That's not what I'm saying. But so often we live for the here and now instead of living for there then. That's our home. That's where we're going. That's what we should be living for. We're strangers. We're strangers. We're to be sanctified. We're to be allowing God to change us to be what He wants us to be. Allowing the Holy Spirit to work in our life. And when he speaks to our heart and He says, hey, you know that's not right. You know you shouldn't talk like that. You know you shouldn't treat your coworker like that. You know you shouldn't talk that way. You know you shouldn't respond that way. What's He trying to do? He's not trying to hurt you. He's trying to help you to become more like Jesus Christ. Why? So you can stand out. So you can stand out. We're strangers. We're sanctified. We're serving. We're being obedient to what Jesus Christ wants us to do. Jesus even said, I came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. To minister. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful that Jesus Christ was willing to shed His blood so that I could be saved. And because of that, now He gives me a purpose. He gives me a purpose. Who am I? Yeah, I'm an American. I'm proud to be an American. But I'm much prouder to be a Christian. I'm much prouder to be a child of God. If all anybody ever knows of me is that I'm proud to be an American, and they don't know that I'm proud to be a Christian, I'm not living as a stranger. I'm not living as a stranger. I'm sanctified. The Holy Spirit's working in my heart to try to change me to become more like Jesus Christ. He says it there in Romans chapter 8. We are to be conformed to the image of His Son. Are we allowing Jesus Christ, are we allowing the Holy Spirit of God to change us to be more like Jesus Christ? Or are we just gonna continue on the same way, just holding on, just gonna live my life the way I wanna live it? I'm gonna kinda change Jesus to be more like me. Friend, you're not living well at all. Are we serving? We're saying, Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? Lord, my life is yours. You bought it. It belongs to you. You tell me what you want me to do, and I'll do it. Lord, you want me to be a greeter at the door and welcome people? I'll be a greeter. Lord, you want me to help in the nursery? I help in the nursery. Lord, you want me to teach a class? I'll teach a class. Lord, you want me to take a track and give it to somebody at a gas pump or in the grocery store or my neighbor? I'll take a track. I'll give it to somebody so they can hear about you. You want me to invite somebody to church? Lord, I'll invite somebody to church. You want me to clean the floors? Lord, I'll clean the floors. Lord, you want me to be a missionary? I'll be a missionary. Lord, you just tell me what you want me to do, and I'll do it, because I know who I am. I know who I belong to. I want to live well, not the way the world thinks, the way that God says. I hope you do. I hope you want to live well. The only way we can live well is if we know who we are. We're strangers. We're sanctified. We're serving. Are you living well? Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we come to you this morning. Lord, as we are beginning this year and beginning this study through the book of 1 Peter, Lord, I pray that you would help us to start with a desire to live well. as Peter is writing to these believers who are being persecuted, had to leave their homes and their jobs because of persecution. They're suffering. And Peter's encouraging them to remember who they are so that they would live well for you. Lord, I am thankful that we are not being persecuted in this country, in this state, in this city, in this church, the way that many believers are being persecuted around the world today. Lord, we can allow the world to convince us that we're just to blend in. We're just to go along with everybody else. But Lord, you've called us to stand out. Lord, you want us to live well. Lord, I pray for Christians this morning, you would work in their hearts. We would understand we are to be strangers. We are sanctified. We're to serve. I wonder if their heads bowed and their eyes closed, no one looking about this morning. I wonder maybe if there's someone here today, you say, Pastor Andrew, I'm not even sure. You talked about being saved. You talked about having a right relationship with God. I don't really understand what those things mean. I don't know if I have a right relationship with God. I don't know if I'm saved. Pastor Andrew, would you pray for me? My prayer can't save you, friend. I can't save you, but I would like to pray for you this morning. You say, Pastor Andrew, that's me. I'm just not sure if I'm saved. I'm not sure if I have a right relationship with God. Would you just slip your hand up this morning, put it right back down. Nobody else is looking about. Just slip it up, put it right back down. Pastor, would you pray for me? I would like to know more about that. Slip it up and right back down. Nobody else is looking around. Pastor, would you pray for me? Friend, if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, we'd love to take the Word of God and show you how you can be saved, how you can have a right relationship with God. We'd love to make an appointment with you. Sit down and show you from God's Word. Christian, can I ask you a question this morning? If you didn't raise your hand, then to me that you're saying that you're a Christian. You're saying that you know that you're saved, that you know you've put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Why don't you ask you a very simple question? You heard the message this morning. Are you living well? Not in the world's eyes, but in God's. Are you living well? As a stranger, sanctified, serving? Or are you just living the way you want? Don't really care what God says. Don't really care to stand out. You're just gonna blend in. Friend, that's not what God wants for your life. Not if you're a Christian. We are called out to stand out. With their heads bowed and their eyes closed, I'm just gonna ask you to stand this morning. Piano is going to begin playing softly. Maybe God spoke to your heart about something this morning, specifically one of these specific areas. Maybe you're not seeing yourself as a stranger and you're just living for the world, living for here and now. Maybe you're not allowing the Holy Spirit to sanctify you the way He wants to sanctify you. You're still trying to run your life instead of yielding to Him. You're not serving. You're not being obedient to what He wants for you. You're fighting it. You know He's working in your heart, but you're fighting it. Why don't you come this morning and say, Lord, I want to begin the year living well. I want to live well this year, Lord. I want to live well. I know I'm a stranger. I'm being sanctified. I want to serve. I want to be obedient. I want to stand out. Let the world see Jesus in me.